May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, happy Epiphany to everyone. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about the season of Epiphany, and there's no such thing. There's the season of Christmas, which is 12 days, then there's the day of Epiphany, and then there's the season after the Epiphany, which is actually ordinary time. Not that any of you were interested in that, but just in case you get asked the question. The word epiphany means to see or to be revealed so you can see. Often you'll hear people in the secular world say, I had an epiphany about that. It means that they saw something or understood it or saw it in a different way where they felt like they came to a realization that they didn't have before. And the epiphany reminds us that the Christian life is a lifetime of epiphanies. The word Advent means to come. And experientially, Advent and Epiphany, they flow together because Jesus is always coming, not from the outside in, but he's always coming to us, meeting us and encountering us. He's always there to provide his adequacy for every situation, to demonstrate his divinity, his sufficiency. And so this idea of Christ is one who comes and that he's also the one who's revealed so that we can see, because epiphanies bring transformation. The scripture talks about we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then epiphany and the idea of epiphany is really important. And one of the things the church for 2,000 years through things like epiphany and Advent want to remind us is that in the end, ultimately, Christianity is about an encountering experience with Jesus every day. But there are also those times that are special epiphanies where we have these amazing fresh encounters and we see things that we had never seen before. It's not that we get more. Jesus said that we have been made complete in him, that we're full in Christ. We're born complete in Christ, but we're not always born again walking in that completion. That's a gradual process of having fresh encounters, fresh epiphanies, and then being transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we see more than we have seen before. Not that we get more, but that we see more. Which is so encouraging to me because it's not like we're striving to get more equipped. This is one of the sad absences in the body of Christ that's not being taught, but it's so clearly biblical that we've been equipped with everything from the moment we're born again. When you have a child, you don't get like part of the child and 2 weeks later they tell you at the hospital they're going to ship the eyes to you. And then a few weeks later, some of the toes and then, no, you're complete. That child's complete. They have to grow into that. It's kind of like righteousness and godliness. The scripture says that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ. So the essence of your new nature as a Christian is the righteousness of God. And so all those want-tos and things that you should do, those are all the real you, the new creation. But godliness is righteousness walking. And we grow in godliness. And we begin to manifest more and more the true nature that's ours in Christ. So I love epiphanies. The little scripture says if we seek him with all of our heart, we'll find him. And every time we find him, there's an expanded perspective and revelation of who he is. An epiphany brings transformation. So I think about the scripture that Deacon Steve read about the Magi coming. Remember this, when they get there to Jerusalem, Jesus is a few months old because they came from a place that they walked or had camel, and it took them a while to get there because they started the journey when they saw this star. And the star comes from a very remote prophecy in the Old Testament. I've always been, I think it's cute and tickles me, but it's good, not good theology, this whole idea, this giant star that the whole world saw. It was a very remote, insignificant thing that some seekers saw. They'd seen something in Scripture, and they were looking. And they saw something that nobody, even the theologians in Jerusalem, saw. And they came, they said, seeking the king because they wanted to worship him. And then when they saw him, of course, they laid down everything before him, which is really what worship is. Like express worshiping with song and raising your hands, that's all wonderful, and it brings great pleasure to the Lord. But in the end, ultimately, worship is about surrendering everything in light of him throwing everything at his feet. That's why it says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. Because that's what worship looks like. And when people worship with a heart and song and that kind of thing, that's just an expression. It's just an outlet of their surrender, their passionate giving up of everything. But when I think about this story in Epiphany, I would assume everybody here, and this is God's challenge for all of us, is that this issue of Christlikeness in its fullness, that you've all your eggs are in that basket, that that's the most important thing in the world to you, that nothing else, everything else is in a different category. It's not like that's first, and then there's second, there's third, there's this, that my heart and my life is to pursue godliness and Christlikeness in its fullness, and then everything else is on a different list. And the reason these men had this epiphany, the reason they saw, I mean, Jesus, the Word had become flesh, so he was seeable. God was seeable in the person of Christ, even this child. And so he was accessible, and he's accessible to us. But the reason that they saw is because they had latched on to a remote prophecy in the Old Testament that spoke about a star and it being an indicator that the Messiah, the King, was here, had arrived. And they obviously had been looking for signs. And then when they saw the star, they saw what nobody else sees, because only the lookers ever see. People casually meander their way through Christianity without passionately looking, and therefore they see so little. God wants you to have epiphany after epiphany after epiphany after epiphany, encounter after encounter after encounter. It should be a normal thing, not just four or five things you put in a book that you've experienced in your life. I mean, there are levels of epiphany, but it should be your daily reality, our daily reality. And so they looked, and they were looking intentionally. And again, there doesn't seem to be anybody else was looking like that. And so while all Jerusalem was in confusion, they had great clarity. But they also paid the price to travel that far based on what they believe God had showed them. And so the star was still there. They followed the star to where Jesus was months after. But again, when they came and said what they said to the people in Jerusalem and they called the theologians, nobody said, oh yeah, we were wondering what that big star was about, because they didn't see it. So these guys had been looking intentionally and then responded and paid a price. They pursued this thing with all their heart, no matter what it cost them. The most important thing in the world to them. They'd put every egg in that basket. We want to see him. And they did. And it changed their lives forever. They fell before him, worshiped him, threw everything at his feet. The point being is, if you seek him, you'll find him. God's wholehearted towards us. He responds passionately to people who are wholehearted towards him and who have made it the priority of their life to look, to seek, to see more, to discover more, and to put off, lay down anything they have to that would keep them from seeing and finding again. Because, again, what I said was that the whole treasure box is yours. Well, let's say treasure room is full of treasures. Bill Johnson says, God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us. So in this treasure room called Christ, where you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, it's like this treasure room. And you're constantly looking and discovering and experiencing more fully all the treasures, the unfathomable riches that are yours in Christ. But only lookers see, only seekers find. And those who've decided that they're going to seek and look as the great priority of their life, they're the ones who see and find the most. They don't get more than anybody, but they just get it more and therefore get to discover more and experience more. I love the scripture. Again, this is, I think, one of Craig's favorite ones. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. That's a pretty good deal, right? Reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be made whole in his life. That's what it literally says. I want to experience all of that, all the much more. And that comes through epiphanies. And so I love the Feast of the Epiphany because it reminds us that these magi, they came and looked. They were looking before and responded to what they saw and came, as opposed to many who didn't. And they got to see and experience what others didn't. I don't know about you. I just turned 69. I don't know how many years I have left on this side of the journey. I was just with Robert Sanford last night, and Lois passed away. But Lois was ready. Lois, nothing on this earth had any more allure to her. I want to spend what time I have left on this earth, not just being one of those, not Lois, but I mean just one of those who are asking the question about, well, what did you see? I just want to read about what they saw, what they experienced. I want to see myself. I want to discover from me. I want to experience them much more. That's what Epiphany reminds me of. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.